Turn with me then to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Well, Jesus has just finished preaching the most amazing sermon that anyone has ever heard. The most amazing sermon recorded in Matthew chapter 5 to the end of chapter 7, known as the Sermon on the Mount. The phrases from that sermon, principles, pictures from that sermon have embedded themselves into the culture and the language of many cultures around the world, including Britain. Well, those who were listening to that message, how did they react? Did they mock? Did they jeer? Did they reject what Jesus was saying as having no relevance whatsoever with the real world? Were they bored by what Jesus had taught in Matthew 5 to 7? Did they say, well, we've heard all this sort of thing before? Well, the answer is in chapter 7 and verse 28. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished. Astonished at his teaching. They were amazed. They were taken aback. Why was that? Well, the Pharisees, the teachers of their day, taught that all that God was really interested in was outward observance, was the keeping of man-made rules, man-made laws. If you did these, if you ticked the right boxes, then God would accept you, God would allow you into heaven. But Jesus taught the converse of that. Jesus said, it's not the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees that's pleasing to God. Not the outward clothing, not the outward adorning, as it were, of the praying in the public place, or the pride that these men were showing. No, it's the inward purity of the heart. It's inward righteousness. That is what God is really interested in his people. And they were amazed. He didn't quote lots of their sort of historical figures who had their own man-made rules. He spoke the word of God plainly. Not saying it's wrong to quote the old boys. Of course, I do that, and well, we quote them because as they explain faithfully the scriptures. That's right. But the Pharisees weren't doing that. Outward, not inward. And Jesus spoke with power, with passion. The crowds listened intently to everything he said. The simplicity of his illustrations. Even a child could understand. What a challenge then for those of us who teach. Stuart Ollett wrote a book, didn't he? Ministering Like the Master. Trying to bring some of these principles to us. Well, I'm just looking tonight at something that happened in the beginning of chapter 8. After Jesus had preached his sermon, he came down from the mountain. The crowds began to follow him. And what happened? Chapter 8 and verse 2. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him. This man, this leper, came and fell down before the Lord Jesus. A leper, afflicted with leprosy. And what I want to do is to think about this man, about this incident in verses 1 to 4 of Matthew chapter 8. And the first thing I want to talk about is this: the desperate condition of the leper. The leper's desperate condition. Well, living in Britain in the 21st century, we don't really know that much about leprosy, do we? We thankfully, it's not part and parcel of our society. What happens when a person gets leprosy? What's the impact? What are the symptoms? Well, leprosy begins with pain in certain areas of the body. Pain. Then the sufferer becomes numb in those areas of the body. The skin in many places loses its original colour. It becomes thick and glossy. The word leprosy is from the Greek. Greek word lepos or lepis, and it means scale, scaly in appearance. And as the sickness progresses, the thickened spots become dirty sores, become ulcers because of the poor circulation. The skin, especially around the eyes and the ears, begins to bunch. There are deep furrows. The leper begins to look in appearance like a lion. Fingers drop off or are absorbed. Toes are affected. The eyebrows, the eyelashes drop out. By this time you can see it's perfectly obvious that this person is a leper. But if a person was blind, they could tell a leper was there as well because of the smell. The person, the leper, emits a very unpleasant odour. The disease also attacks the larynx. The leper's voice becomes husky, becomes hoarse, and he rasps when he speaks. They're just some of the symptoms of the sad condition of leprosy. And the man who approached the Lord Jesus here, it's fair to say, would have had most, if not all, of the symptoms of leprosy. His head would have been shaven in accordance with Mosaic law. His clothes would have been dirty and torn. But why is this man come before the Lord Jesus Christ? Why did he come before him? Well, he came before him because he was desperate. Absolutely desperate. Let's consider his condition for a moment. What would have happened to this man who had leprosy? Well, a person in the city diagnosed with leprosy would soon be put out of the city. He would be ejected. If he was working, he would have to resign his job because he wouldn't carry on, wouldn't be allowed to carry on any longer. If he had a family, he'd be taken and put outside. He would be isolated. If he was rich, he would be destitute because he couldn't work anymore. He could no longer support himself. He would live on the charity of others. So what a situation. It doesn't matter what walk of life you were from, you weren't immune to this particular affliction. One day a wealthy merchant, the next day destitute, outside, a nobody, despised, rejected, cut off from society. What a miserable condition. Think of the stigma that this man would have had, as well as the pain, as well as being taken away from his community, from his family, from those he loved. Think of the radical change. But what's different from this man coming and kneeling before Jesus? Why is this shocking, as the passage would have us see it? It's shocking because the leper is to go before him, as it were, and he's to cry out, unclean, unclean, according to Leviticus 13, 45 to 46. That was what the law said that a leper had to do. If, say, a king travelled around the country, yes, he would have his soldiers to protect him from bands of robbers and for those who wanted to attack him. He had also make sure that then lepers come near him because he didn't want to catch leprosy, the contagious disease. So then, this man coming before Jesus, how unthinkable it would have been. How desperate he was. Was he invited to come to Jesus? No, he wasn't. He threw himself at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, this unclean condition of the leper reminds us of the biblical truth of uncleanness. Of spiritual uncleanness, of spiritual leprosy. The physical condition of uncleanness reminds us of a spiritual, inward condition of uncleanness before God that each one of us has. Each one of us is born with this spiritual uncleanness. that our hearts are in the condition of this man's body. Corrupted, deteriorating, unclean. Well, what does the Bible say about the nature of men and women, boys and girls? Well, just flick on a few pages to Matthew 15 and verse 18, where Jesus says this, But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. And Jesus is explaining that the human heart is unclean, and proceeding out of it is all kinds of sinfulness. It's defiled. But it's not just the literal murder. It's the hatred in the heart. It's not just the literal adultery. It's the adultery of the heart. It's pride. It's all those things, and many more besides, that come out of the heart. The heart, as it were, is like a broken sewage pipe. And being pumped out of the pipe are all types of uncleanness. So the Bible defines the human heart, contaminating the whole person, making us unclean, making the human heart, as it were, a stench before God, defiled before a holy God. We have this leprosy then of the heart, this uncleanness of the heart. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 59 verse 2 that your iniquities have separated you from your God, your sins have hidden his face. Separated because of sin. Separated because God is clean and pure and holy. And we are unclean and impure and unholy. Well-known verse in Habakkuk 1:19. God's eyes are too pure to look on evil. God is completely pure. He cannot intently look upon sin. It grieves him because of his holiness, because of his purity. And nothing unclean can ever enter his presence. It's like the leper. When he contracts the disease, he's put out of the city. He's separated. He's thrust out. He's isolated. It's like the sinner in the presence of a holy God. It's like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. When they took the forbidden fruit, when they sinned against God, what did he say? Out of the garden. They were thrust out because of their sin. And the cherubims to guard the way to the tree of life and ensure that they didn't come back. Separated from God. Put out from him. And when we think about these things, does it make us feel, yeah, that's right. Our conscience tells us, yeah, in my mind and heart are some of the things the Bible says, and pride and sin and uncleanness in any of its various forms. And yes, I am a sinner. Yes, I am unclean before him. Like Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. And I live amongst a people of unclean lips. Put away from the presence of God. Put away from him. Sin is separated. And as you read those things, can't you affirm and agree with the scripture that that's what it says about your heart? As it says that about my heart too. The uncleanness. Who could deny that that is the state of the human heart? That that is the state of your heart? And of my heart too. And if the leper isn't cured, where will the leper die? The leper will die separated. He will die outside the city. He will die in that condition. And it's the same with the sinner. If he dies in that condition, he will die separated from God forever. Separated from the love of God. Separated from joy in God. Separated from him eternally in a place the Bible calls hell. a place of misery, a place of separation, a place of isolation, a place of destitution. Well, what can we do? What did the leper do? Well, secondly, let's consider the willingness of Jesus Christ to cleanse the leper. Obviously, the leper had heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. No leper had been cleansed in Israel's name in the Syrian. And this leper may have talked to the other lepers that were in the same situation. Is this man Jesus whom we've heard doing these miracles? Could he heal us? Could he restore us? And this leper thought, yes. Maybe he can. But how could he reach him? He couldn't go into the synagogue, could he, and ask for healing, because he wouldn't have got through the city gates. The guards wouldn't have let him through. He's a leper. Get out and come in. We don't want the disease that you've got. Could he have gone to Jesus in the crowd? No, he couldn't. No, he must have a surprise, as it were. Surprise approach to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the meaning there in the original there in verse 2. And behold, a surprise. This man comes from nowhere and he comes and he falls before the Lord Jesus as he's coming down from the mountain after giving the Sermon on the Mount. As he hears Jesus coming closer, his heart beating. Will he cleanse me? Could this be it? Could this be the turning point of my life? Could this be the point where my life is transformed, where I'm restored again, where I'm brought back into the city, and all the blessings that I have are restored to me? Could this be it? As he comes and he falls before the Lord Jesus in hope, hoping in his mercy. And he falls and he says those words, Lord, if you are willing, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He stakes everything on the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has no right to approach him. He hasn't been invited to come to him. Yet he ventures, and the character and what he's heard of the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only you can help me. Only you can heal me. Lord, if you are willing. Well, like the leper, we must go to the only one who can heal the spiritual leper. The sinner. The one who is unclean. Go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, God sent him on the mission into this world to deal with a problem of spiritual uncleanness. To deal with the problem of spiritual leprosy. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but he was born without that condition. He was born whole, complete, pure, holy, righteous. He wasn't born in sin in any way. There was an immaculate conception. He was born of the Holy Spirit through a virgin. His body, his soul, as it were, was not corrupted through the line of sinners from Adam. It was special. It was unique. He was pure and without sin. And he came to deal with what separates us from God, with the uncleanness of the human heart. And the Bible tells us that God so loved this world that he sent Jesus that he might save us from that condition, that he might do something that might mean we could be cleansed and washed and purified and brought back into the presence of God. There was no sin in him. He loved God with all of his heart, soul, mind and strength. He never did any sin. Out of the heart of Jesus Christ, there was nothing impure. In contrast to the human heart, the sinful human heart. And yet his greatest work was dying on the cross of Calvary for us. The only one who has ever been clean, was made a spiritual leper on the cross. That by dying for us, being punished for us, we might be made clean. Spiritual lepers might be made clean. He paid the price for our sins. He can wash us clean. But does he want to? Is he willing to? Will he, if we come to him, cleanse us from our sins? Well, how did Jesus react to this leper? Lord, if you are willing. Well, the answer's there in verse 3, isn't it? I am willing. I am willing. I am willing. It was music to the ears of that leper, wasn't it? That was the most beautiful words he'd ever heard. I am willing, from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark's gospel, it says a little bit more. It says, filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. I am willing, be cleansed. There we have it. Jesus has a heart of compassion, a heart that overflows with compassion, with love for the afflicted, for the sinner, for the one who is spiritually unclean. Heart of grace, heart of love, a heart of mercy, heart that wants to do with us good, a heart of compassion. It's the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he touched the leper. That was completely taboo in those days. He didn't just say it. He placed his hand on him and he touched him. Probably the first time this man had been touched for years. A physical touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can imagine the wonder of this leper as the Son of God touched him. And there isn't anyone as compassionate and as gracious as the Lord Jesus Christ. Full of compassion to those in their need. If you've never been to the Lord Jesus Christ, is it because you don't think he's bothered about you? Or you don't think he's interested in you? Or you don't think he'll receive you? Or you don't think he's compassionate towards you? Well, look at this passage. See his compassion and love and tenderness and desire and grace towards this leper. Why should he be willing? You can't answer that. But he is willing. When did this cleansing occur? Did it occur over a period of months and years after? No, it was immediate. Immediate cleansing. Immediately, verse 3, his leprosy was cleansed. He had a complete, a total transformation in his health. It was visible. From being unclean to clean in a split second, at a touch, at a word of the Lord Jesus Christ. His skin, scaly. His fingers, some had fallen off, some had joined together. Were restored. Healed. What an amazing thing it would have been to see this miracle. The sign of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the man touches his face and feels the softness and how it was before. And he looks at his fingers and his toes and he feels so different. He began to speak normally again. The effects, the consequences of the condition have been eradicated. He's been cleansed. Imagine his joy. Imagine his relief. Imagine his heart at the touch, at the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Day after day, before he would have put his head down on the pillow, wherever he was sleeping in his condition, and perhaps pray that God would heal him. And as he woke up in the morning and he felt and as he looked, he was exactly the same. And he was resigned to the fact that he would never be different. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ had touched him, had transformed him, had restored him, had healed him. What a grace, gracious Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ had been to this man. If you seek the Lord Jesus Christ, he will heal you of your sins. He will take away that uncleanness. He will wash you. He will restore you. He will transform you. He will give you that spiritual health where there was spiritual disease. He will cleanse you. He will turn you around. He will bring you back into the presence of God from being destitute and isolated and cast out, unable to approach God, being brought into fellowship with God and reconciliation into the presence of God again, where you can come before Him and talk to Him and trust Him and pray to Him and love Him and tell others about Him. Grace of God, conscience washed clean, no matter what you've done or thought or what you haven't done. The burden of sin and the affliction and the consequences of sin washed, cleansed, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, with a fresh start, with a new purpose, with a new aim, with a new direction to follow hard after the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is willing to make you clean. So we thought about the desperate condition. We thought about the willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's thirdly and briefly think of reasons why people reject a willing Saviour. Reasons why people reject a willing Saviour. Why do some not go to the Lord Jesus Christ for cleansing and for healing? Well, what I want to do is to bring three lepers before you. And each one has got his own excuses. And let's take away those excuses from this passage. The first leper, leper number one, is the do-it-yourself leper. The cleanse-yourself leper. Now, the leper could try and do good works, couldn't he? He'd try and win his way back into the people's favour and get himself accepted and brought back into the city. He's been put out because of his condition. He can try and do good works. If I do enough good works, he thinks, maybe they'll let me back in. He could have captured robbers. He could have waited for them. He could have earned his reputation as being almost like a Robin Hood of those days, in being a do-gooder. And people will be grateful for him, and he may think, well, maybe if I do enough of this, then they won't. They'll make an exception for me, and they'll lead me in. They'll bring me in, and they'll accept me into the city. Well, would they do that? Of course they wouldn't. Of course the people wouldn't let him back in. He's still got his condition. Still unclean. He's still afflicted. No matter what good the man did, there's no way back into the city in his present condition. Let's apply it this way. Are you trying to make yourself good enough for God? Are you trying to do enough good works such that you think God will bring you back in to his presence in spite of your unclean condition? Well, there's that verse in Isaiah, isn't there, that says even our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. Even the good deeds that we do, they come out, as it were, still of a sinful heart. They're tainted with sin. They're still unclean. And we can do good deeds, which is a good thing to do. And we can visit people, and we can give money to charity. And we can say we're an upright person. And we can assent to the Bible's commandments and ethics. And we can do all these things. But God won't allow us into heaven, into his presence, because we do them. Because like the leper, we're still in that condition. We're still unclean before him. And there needs to be cleansing. There needs to be the restoration, needs to be the bringing back, the dealt with, sin being dealt with. The do-it-yourself leper will not be allowed back into the city. The spiritual leper, he wants to do it himself, to earn his way in, to tick the right boxes would not be allowed back into the presence of God. Secondly, the complacent leper. Imagine the leper's friends living outside the city, hearing about this man who's been healed. Would they sit back and would they say, well, that's nice for him, but I don't really need that. Would they say that? Of course they wouldn't. They hear about the power and the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would they say, I don't care, I'll still be a leper, thanks. I'm okay as I am, thanks. That's what some people can say is a reason for not coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm okay as I am. I don't need the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. I don't need him as my saviour. Think of the leper in his condition. It'd be crazy to think like that. But do you think like that of your own soul? You're complacent. You think you don't need him. Not really interested. Complacent leper. The book of Revelation, chapter 21, with the vision of the city of God coming down. And it tells us who will not be allowed to enter that city. Any that is unclean, any that defile, will not be allowed into the city of God, into eternal life, into the new Jerusalem. Nothing impure will be allowed to enter in that state of uncleanness. What about your soul? Will you go on in that condition of uncleanness before God? Or will you do something about it? Will you go to him like this leper went to the Lord Jesus? To be rejected from God's city for eternity, to a place of regret, a place of misery forever. When that condition can be changed and cleansed and restored, it can be brought back to God. Does it make sense when the offer of cleansing is there to reject it? And the Bible says if you reject it now, you will be rejected from him forever. The third category of leper, the doubting leper. Surely this is the leper described here in the account. Was he really willing? Will he really receive me? If he's willing, he can cleanse me. I believe he's able. Well, has he demonstrated he's willing to forgive your sin in his coming into the world? Hasn't he demonstrated his willingness to cleanse you in his life, in his resisting the devil, in his good works, in his teaching? As he wrestled in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he yielded himself to Judas and to the soldiers, as he yielded himself and gave himself to the cross, as he's raised again the third day, doesn't it show his willingness to go through all of that, that you might be forgiven, that you might be cleansed? Of course he's willing. He is full of compassion. He's full of grace. His heart overflows to you, that you will go to him and put your trust in him. Believe on him. Abandoning any hope in yourself, abandoning any thought that you can come before a holy God in yourself in that condition, but going to Jesus Christ and asking for forgiveness and for cleansing, that he will wash you, that he will make you clean, that he will reconcile you to God, that he will bring you, your soul before God in that day, cleansed, washed, restored, forgiven. Years later, Jesus stood on the hill outside Jerusalem, the city that rejected him, the city that had stoned and killed the prophets. And as he stood looking down, he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I have You who've killed the prophets and stoned those who were sent to you, how I've longed to gather you together. The willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ to gather everyone under his wings, to save every soul, to cleanse every spiritual leper, to deal with the problem of sin, of your sin and my sin and the sin of those around us, the sin of the world. That he will cleanse you and make you new and make you clean and purify and make you the son or a daughter of God. Perhaps you've ignored him all your life. Perhaps you've not heard of his offer of salvation before. Perhaps you've carried the burden of your sin around like, as it were, a rucksack full of bricks, and it weighs you down. Your conscience speaks to you, but he is willing. Be cleansed. Go to him. And he says, by way of personal invitation, that whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. I will never cast you out. I will receive you. No matter how unclean you are compared to others, he can make you as clean as you need to be in the presence of God. As clean as the life of his Son. As clean as Jesus himself. He desires that you will go to him. Will you go to him? Will you put your faith, your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone? Will you turn away from your sin and lean upon him, rely upon him alone, the one who can cleanse you from all of your sin? Amen.